Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 10, the trunk branches and sub-branches of the Chaitanya tree. Text 110, 32. The former Prajumna Brahmachari was given the name Nrisinghananda Brahmachari by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In his body were the symptoms of avirbhava. Such appearances are uncommon, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed many such pastimes through his different features. Srila Prabhupada. In the Gauranga Deepika 73-74, it is said that Nakula Brahmachari displayed the prowess, avesha, and Prajumna Brahmachari the appearance, avirbhava, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many hundreds and thousands of devotees of Lord Chaitanya, among whom there are no special symptoms. But when a devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu functions with specific prowess, he displays the feature called avesha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally spread the Sankirtan movement, and he advised all the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha to take up this cult and preach it all over the world. The visible bodily symptoms of devotees who follow such instructions are called avesha. Srila Shivananda Sen observed such avesha symptoms in Nakula Brahmachari, who displayed symptoms exactly like those of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Chaitanya Charitamrita states that in the age of Kali, the only spiritual function is to broadcast the holy name of the Lord. But this function can be performed only by one who is actually empowered by Lord Krishna. The process by which a devotee is thus empowered is called avesha, or sometimes it's called shakti avesha. Prajumna Brahmachari was formerly a resident of a village known as Priyari Ganja in Kalna. There is a description of him in the Antya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, second chapter, and in the Antya Kanda of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapters 3 and 9. Text 110-60. Shivananda Sen experienced the three features of Shakshat, Avesha, and Avirbhava. Later, I shall vividly describe this transcendental blissful subject. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Shivananda Sen has been described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj as follows. Shivananda Sen was a resident of Kumarahati, which was also known as Halisara, and was a great devotee of the Lord. About 1.5 miles from Kumarahatta is another village known as Kanchadapada, in which there are Gora Gopal deities installed by Shivananda Sen, who also established the temple of Krishnaraya that is still existing. Shivananda Sen was the father of Paramananda Sen, who is also known as Puridas or Kavi Karnapur. Paramananda Sena wrote in his Gauranga Deepika 176 that two of the gopis of Vrindavan, whose former names were Veera and Duti, combined to make it become his father. Srila Sivananda Sen guided all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya who went from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, and he personally bore all the expenses for their journey. This is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 16, verses 19-27. Srila Shivananda Sen had three sons named Chaitanya Das, Rama Das, and Paramananda. As mentioned above, this last son later became Kavi Karnapura. who wrote the Gauranga Dashtipika. His spiritual master was Srinath Pandit, who was Shivananda's Sen's priest. Due to Vasudev Dutta's lavish spending, Shivananda Sen was engaged to supervise his expenditures. Sri Sivananda Sen actually experienced Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feature of Shakshat, Avesh, and Avirbhava. He once took along a dog while on his way to Jagannath Puri, and it is described in the Antya Lila, first chapter, that this dog later attained salvation by his association. When Srila Raghunath Das, who later became Raghunath Das Goswami, fled his paternal home to join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his father wrote a letter to Sivananda Sen to get information about him. Sivananda Sen supplied him with the details for which he asked, and later Raghunath Das Goswami's father sent some servants and money to Sivananda Sen to take care of Raghunath Das Goswami. Once Sri Sivananda Sen invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home and fed him so sumptuously that the Lord felt indigestion and was somewhat sick. This became known to Sivananda Sen's eldest son, Chaitanya Das, who gave the Lord the kinds of food that would help his digestion. And thus, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased. This is described in Antya Lila, 10th chapter, verses 142 through 151. Once while going to Jagannath Puri, all the devotees had to stay underneath a tree, without the shelter of a house or even a shed. And Nityananda Prabhu became very angry, as if he were greatly disturbed by hunger. Thus he cursed Sivananda's sons to die. Sivananda's wife was very much aggrieved at this, and she began to cry. She very seriously thought that since her sons had been cursed by Nityananda Prabhu, certainly they would die. When Sivananda later returned and saw his wife crying, he said, "Why are you crying? Let us all die, if Sri Nityananda Prabhu desires." When Sivananda Sen returned, and Srila Nityananda Prabhu saw him, the Lord kicked him severely, complaining that he was very hungry, and asked why he had not arranged for his food. Such is the behavior of the Lord with his devotees. Srila Nityananda Prabhu behaved like an ordinary hungry man, as if completely dependent upon the arrangements of Sivananda Sen. A nephew of Sivananda Sen's named Srikanta left the company in protest of Nityananda Prabhu's curse and went directly to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri, where the Lord pacified him. On that occasion, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allowed his toe to be sucked by Puri Das, who was then a child. It is by the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he could immediately compose Sanskrit verses. During the misunderstanding with Sivananda's family, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered his personal attendant, Govinda, to give them all the remnants of his food. This is described in Antya Lila, chapter 12, verse 53. 110, 61 to 62. The sons, servants, and family members of Sivananda Sen constituted a sub-branch. They were all sincere servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The three sons of Sivananda Sen, named Chaitanya Das, Ramadas, and Karnapura, were all heroic devotees of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada. Chaitanya Das, the eldest son of Sivananda Sen, wrote a commentary on Krishna Karinamrita that was later translated by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his paper Sajjan Toshan. According to expert opinion, Chaitanya Das was the author of the book Chaitanya Charita, also known as Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was written in Sanskrit. The author was not Kavi Karnapur, as is generally supposed. This is the opinion of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Sri Ramadasa was the second son of Sivananda Sen. It is stated in the Gauranga Dashtipika, 145, that the two famous parrots named Daksha and Vichakshana in Krishna Lila became the elder brothers of Kavi Karnapur, namely Chaitanya Das and Ramadas. So that's why they'd be so expert, because they're parrots and they hear all the things and they can all repeat them, like Sukadev. Sukadev Goswami then is one of the parrots, so he was able to do the same. They're able to do the same thing. Karnapura, the third son, who was also known as Paramananda Das or Puri Das, was initiated by Srinath Pandit, who was a disciple of Sri Advaita Prabhu. Karnapur wrote many books that are important in Vaishnava literature, such as the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Alankara Kustuba, Gauragano Dashtipika, and the great epic Chaitanya Chandodaya Nataka. He was born in the year 1448 Shakabda, A.D. 1526. He continually wrote books for 10 years from 1488 until 1498. 1063. Sri Vallabhasena and Sri Kantasena were also sub-branches of Shivananda Sen, for they were not only his nephews, but also unalloyed devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu rebuked Shivananda Sen on the way to Puri, these two nephews of Shivananda left the company as a protest and went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. The Lord could understand the feelings of the boys, and he asked his personal assistant Govinda to supply them prasad until the party of Shivananda arrived. During the Rath Yatra Sankirtana festival, these two brothers were members of the party led by Mukunda. In the Gauragano Dashtipika 174, it is said that the gopis, whose name was Katyayani, appeared as Sri Kanta Sen. Govindanandana and Govindadatta are the 25th and 26th branches of the tree. Were performers of kirtan in the company of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Govindadatta was the principal singer in Lord Chaitanya's kirtan party. Sri Vijayadas, the 27th branch, another of Lord Chaitanya's chief singers, gave the Lord many books written by hand. Srila Prabhupada. Formerly, there were no printing presses or printed books. All books were handwritten. Precious books were kept in manuscript form in temples or other important places, and anyone who was interested in a book had to copy it by hand. Vijayadas was a professional writer who copied many manuscripts and gave them to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
To do with the study guides.
Yes. Everyone has to, you know, we keep it over the and everyone has to come and write it down. You
know. We would know it better.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
His handwriting should be beautiful.
That helps, yeah. Unless you're a doctor. I'm not sure they don't actually teach you a class how to write like that. Because if you notice, all the doctors, no matter where they're from, they all write in the same chicken scratches, right? You know, it's the same unreadable. Right? 1066-67. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Vijayadas the name Ratnabahu, jewel-handed, because he copied many manuscripts for him. The 28th branch was Krishnadas, who was very dear to the Lord. He was known as Akinchana Krishnadas. The 29th branch was Sridhara, a trader in banana tree bark. He was a very dear servant of the Lord. On many occasions, the Lord played jokes on him. Srila Prabhupada. Kolabecha, Sridhara, was a poor brahmana who made a living by selling banana tree bark to be made into cups. Most probably, he had a banana tree garden and collected the leaves, skin, and pulp of the banana trees to sell daily in the market. He spent 50% of his income to worship the Ganges, and the balance he used for his subsistence. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started the civil disobedience movement in defiance of the Qazi, Sridhara danced in jubilation. The Lord used to drink water from his water jug. Sridhara presented a squash to Sachi Devi to cook before Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Every year he went to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. According to Kavi Karnapur, Sridhara was a cowherd boy of Vrindavan whose name was Kusumasava. In his Gauragano Dashtipika 133, it is stated, the cowherd boy known as Kusumasava in Krishna Leela later became Kolabesha Sridhara during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela at Navati. 1068-7. Every day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jokingly snatched fruits, flowers, and pulp from Sridhar and drank from his broken iron pot. The 13th, because Lord Chaitanya was very tall. You know, and when you drink water, you hold it away from your mouth. Mm-hmm. So Lord Chaitanya is tall in that, so he snatched the pot, and Sridhar would try to get it. But, you know, he'd hold it up high like this and drink, so he couldn't do anything.
When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, it was the same size as in deity.
Yes, that's his size. But just like Radha Madhava, that's actual size.
And the other devotee were... smaller.
Other devotees, yeah, like Kolibesha, he was smaller, yes.
Well, means it was exceptional that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was tall.
How many tall Bengalis have you seen?
yes, very few. Right?
Yes, okay, so then.
But actually, I was discussing with one devotee, he said, if every Bengali is like 2 meters, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why in a few hundred of years it's big change?
No, that's just Lord Chaitanya. He was big like that. Doesn't say the others were big.
Nityananda was the same size.
Seems like that. Yeah. That kind of detail, I don't know. Yeah. Does it say some? You've come across it? No. Yeah. But Lord Chaitanya, that's his size. And Radha Madhava, that's their size. The 13th branch was Bhagavan Pandit. He was an extremely dear servant of the Lord, but even previously he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, who always kept the Lord within his heart. The 31st branch was Jagadish Pandit, and the 32nd was Hiranya Mahashai, under whom Lord Chaitanya, in his childhood, showed his causeless mercy. Srila Prabhupada. Jagadish Pandit was formerly a great dancer in Krishna Lila, and was known as Chandrahasa. Regarding Hiranya Pandit, it is said that once when Lord Nityananda, decorated with valuable jewels, was staying at his home, all night long a great thief attempted to plunder these jewels but was unsuccessful. Later he came to Nityananda Prabhu and surrendered unto him. In their two houses, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begged food on the Ekadasi day and personally ate it. Srila Prabhupada, the injunction to fast on Ekadasi is especially meant for devotees. On Ekadasi, there are no restrictions regarding food that may be offered to the Lord. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the food of Lord Vishnu in his ecstasy as Vishnu Tattva. Okay, so different devotees is manifesting different kind of moods. Because right, everyone else is fasting, so then he went... The 33rd and 34th branches were the two students of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu named Purushottama and Sanjaya, who were stalwart students in grammar. They were very great personalities. Srila Prabhupada. These two students were inhabitants of Navadvipa and were the Lord's first companions in the Samkirtan movement. According to the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Purushottama Sanjaya was the... Purushottam Sanjaya was the son of Mukunda Sanjaya. But the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita has clarified that Purushottam and Sanjaya were two people, not one. 1073. Vanamali Pandit, the 35th branch of the tree, was very much celebrated in this world. He saw a golden club and plow in the hands of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. Vanamali Pandit saw Lord Chaitanya in the ecstasy of Balaram. This is described vividly in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antikanda, Chapter 9. The 36th branch, Budhimanta Khan, was extremely dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was always prepared to carry out the Lord's order, and therefore he was considered to be a chief servant of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada, Sri Budhimanta Khan was one of the inhabitants of Navadvipa. He was very rich, because right, that's at least the Khan, right, that's the background. You know, so he was still rich. He was very rich, and is he who arranged for the marriage of Lord Chaitanya with Vishnupriya, the daughter of Sanatan Mishra, who is the priest of the local zamindar. He personally defrayed all the expenditures for the marriage ceremony. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is attacked by Vayu Vyadhi, the arrangement of the air within the body, Bhudimanta Khan paid for all requisite medicines and treatments to cure the Lord. He was the Lord's constant companion in the Kirtan movement. He collected ornaments for the Lord when he played the part of the goddess of fortune in the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. He also went to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was staying at Jagannath Puri. 1075. Garuda Pandit, the 37th branch of the tree, always engaged in chanting the auspicious name of the Lord. Because of the strength of this chanting, even the effects of poison could not touch him. Srila Prabhupada. Garuda Pandit was once bitten by a poisonous snake, but the snake's poison could not affect him because of his chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So it says it cures all maladies. 1076. Gopinath Simha, the 38th branch of the tree, was a faithful servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord jokingly addressed him as Akrura. Srila Prabhupada. Actually, he was Akrura, as stated in text 17 of the Gauragana Deshtipika. 1077. Devananda Pandit was a professional reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam. But by the mercy of Vakreshwara Pandit and the grace of the Lord, he understood the devotional interpretation of the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhyakanda chapter 21, it is stated that Devananda Pandit and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's father, Visharada, lived in the same village. Devananda Pandit was a professional reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like his interpretation of it. In the present town of Navadvip, which is formerly known as Kulia, Lord Chaitanya showed much mercy to him, that he gave up the Mayavadi interpretation of Srimad Bhagavatam and learned how to explain Srimad Bhagavatam in terms of bhakti. Formerly, when Devananda was expounding the Mayavadi interpretation, Srivas Thakur was once present in this meeting, and when he began to cry, Devananda's students drove him away. Some days later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed that way, and when he met Devananda, he chastised him severely because of his Mayavadi interpretation of Srimad Bhagavatam. At that time, Devananda had little faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an incarnation of Lord Krishna. But one night, some time later, Vakreshwara Pandit was a guest in his house, and when he explained the science of Krishna, Devananda was convinced about the identity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus he was induced to explain Srimad Bhagavatam according to the Vaishnava understanding. In the Gauranga Deshtipika 106, it is described that he was formerly Bhaguri Muni, the Sabha Pandit who recited Vedic literatures in the house of Nanda Maharaj. I think that's the mutt, the second to the last on the road in Navadvip, going towards the station. Then it's called Devananda. Yeah, so I think that may be from Devananda. That may be where he stayed. 1078-79. Sri Kandavasi Mukunda and his son Raghunandana were the 39th branch of the tree. Narahari was the 40th, Chiranjeeva the 41st, and Sulochana the 42nd. They were all big branches of the all-merciful tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They distributed the fruits and flowers of love of Godhead anywhere and everywhere. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Mukunda Das was the son of Narayana Das, an eldest brother of Narahari Sarkar. His second brother's name was Madhava Das, and his son was named Raghunandana Das. The descendants of Raghunandana Das still live 4 miles west of Katwa in the village named Srikanda, where Raghunandana Das used to live. Raghunanda had one son named Kanai, who had two sons, Madanarai, who was a disciple of Narahari Thakur, and Vamsivadana. It is estimated that at least 400 men descended in this dynasty. All their names are recorded in the village of Srikanda. In the Gauranga Deshtipika 175, it is stated that the gopi whose name was Vrinda Devi became Mukunda Das, lived in Shrikanda village, and was very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His wonderful devotion and love for Krishna are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 15. It is stated in the Bhakti Ratnakar, 8th wave, that Raghunandana used to serve a deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Interesting is that, said Mukunda Das was the son of Narayan Das, eldest brother of Narhari Sarkar. So Narhari Sarkar was Mukunda Das's brother then. And his second brother's name was Madhava, and his son was named Raghunandan. Okay, so Narhari Sarkar, Mukunda's brother, he's the one that wrote Bhakti Ratnakar. Narhari Sarkar, Narhari Das Sarakara. Sarakara. Narhari Sarkar. Okay, so that's with Sarakara. But in Bengali, they just say Sarkar. I didn't even notice the A till then. Was a very famous devotee. Lochan Das Thakur, the celebrated author of Chaitanya Mangala, was his disciple. And the Chaitanya Mangala stated that Sri Garadhar Das and Narhari Sarkar were extremely dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But there's no specific statement regarding the inhabitants of the village of Srikanda. Chiranjeeva and Sulochana were both residents of Srikanda, where their descendants are still living. Of Chiranjeev's two sons, the elder, Ramachandra Kaviraj, was a disciple of Srinivas Acharya and an intimate associate of Narottam Das Thakur. Okay, so this is that Ramachandra Kaviraj. The younger son was Govinda Das Kaviraj, the famous Vaishnava poet. Chiranjeeva's wife was Sunandana, and his father-in-law was Damodar Sant Kaviraj. Chiranjeev previously lived on the bank of the Ganges River. In the village of Kumaranagara, the Gorgadhar Dashtipika 107 states that he was formerly Chandrika in Vrindavan. 110, 80 through 84. Satyaraj, Ramananda, Yarunatha, Purushottama, Shankara, and Vidyananda all belonged to the 20th branch. They were inhabitants of the village known as Kulinagram. All the inhabitants of Kulinagram, headed by Vaninath Vasu, were servants of Lord Chaitanya, who was their only life and wealth. The Lord said, "What to speak of others? Even a dog in the village of Kulinagram is my dear friend." Yes. No one can describe the fortunate position of Kulinagram. It is so sublime that even sweepers who tend their hogs there also chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. On the western side were the 43rd, 44th, and 45th branches, Sri Sanatan, Sri Rupa, and Anupam. They were the best of all. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Anupam was the father of Srila Jiva Goswami and younger brother of Sri Sanatan Goswami and Sri Rupa Goswami. His former name was Vallabha, but after Lord Chaitanya met him, he gave him the name Anupam. Because of working in the Muslim government, these three brothers were given the title Mulluk. Our personal family is connected with the Mulluks of Mahatma Gandhi Road in Calcutta, and we often used to visit their Radha Govinda temple. They belong to the same family as we do. Our family Gotra, original genealogical line, is the Gotama Gotra, or the line of disciples of Gotama Muni, and our surname is Day. But due to their accepting the post of zamindars in the Muslim government, they received the title Mulluk. Similarly, Rupa, Sanata, and Vallabha were also given the title Mulluk. Mulluk means Lord, just as the English government gives rich and respectable titles the name, title Lord. So the Muslims gave the title Mulluk to rich, respectable families that had intimate connections with the government. And so they were in the Day line, and these you know, that kind of connection, that Gotra. But because of this, then they're known as the Mulluks. Thus, the title Mulluk is found not only among the Muslims, but also among the Hindu aristocracy. The title is not restricted to a particular family, but is given to different families and castes. The qualifications for receiving it are wealth and respectability. So if someone's, their name is Mulluk, means that if they're not rich now, at one point they were. You know, like that. Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami belong to the Bharadwaj Gotra, which indicates that they belonged either to the family or the siblic succession of Bharadwaj Muni. As members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we belong to the family or the cyclic succession of Saraswat Goswami, and thus we are known as Saraswatas. Obeisances are therefore offered to the spiritual master as Saraswata Deva, or a member of the Saraswata family. Namaste Saraswate Deve, whose mission is to broadcast the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauravani Pracharane, and to fight with impersonalists and voidists, Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine. Leaves the translation at that point. This was also the occupational duty of Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Anupam Goswami. So then he's giving the family line. So we're Saraswatas coming in that line, and our duty is, the occupation is to, you know, fight with impersonalists and voidists.
Amazing.
Yeah. The genealogical table of Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Vallabha Goswami can be traced back to the 12th century Shakabda, when a gentleman of the name Sarvagya appeared in a very rich and opulent Brahmin family in the province of Karnataka. He had two sons named Anir Rudhera Rupeshwara and Harihara, who were both bereft of their kingdoms and thus obliged to reside in the highlands. The son of Rupeshwara, who was named Padmanabha, moved to a place in Bengal known as Naihati, on the bank of the Ganges. There he had five sons, of whom the youngest, Mukunda, had a well-behaved son named Kumaradeva, who was the father of Rup, Sanata, and Vallabha. Kumaradeva lived in Patayabad, an area bordering Bala Chandra Dweep in East Bengal, now Bangladesh, the present-day village of Prempag, which lies near Ramsara in the Jessore district of Bangladesh, is said by many to be the site of Kumaradeva's house. Of his many sons, three took to the path of Vaishnavism. Later, Sri Vallabha and his elder brother, Sri Rupa and Sanatan, came from Chandradeep to the village of Malda district of Bengal, known as Ramakeli. It is in this village that Srila Jiva Goswami took birth, accepting Vallabha as his father. Because of engaging in the service of the Muslim government, the three brothers received the title Malik. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the village of Ramakeli, he met Vallabha there. Later, Sri Rupa Goswami, after meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, resigned from government service, and when he went to Vrindavan to meet Lord Chaitanya, Vallabha accompanied him. The meeting of Rupa and Goswami and Vallabha with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Allahabad is described in the Madhya Leela, chapter 19. Actually, it is to be understood from the statement of Sanatana Goswami that Sri Rupa Goswami and Vallabha went to Vrindavan under the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First they went to Mathura, where they met a gentleman named Subhuti Rai, who maintained himself by selling dry fuel wood. He was very pleased to meet Sri Rupa Goswami and Anupam, and he showed them the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Thus they lived in Vrindavan for 1 month, and then again went to search for Sanatana Goswami. Following the course of the Ganges, they reached Allahabad, or Prayag Tirtha, but because Sanatana Goswami had come there in it by a different road, they did not meet him there. And when Sanatana Goswami came to Mathura, he was informed of the visit of Rupa Goswami and Anupam by Subhuti Rai. So they went down to meet him, and he went by another road, and so they missed.
He was avoiding the law. That's why he went another road.
Oh, look.
Sanatana Goswami.
Oh, okay. So he didn't go down the regular road.
The main path, right.
Okay. This was after he escaped the prison?
After.
That's right.
Yes.
When Rupa Goswami and Anupam met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Benares, they heard about Sanatana Goswami's travels from him. and thus they returned to Bengal, adjusted their affairs with the state, and on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see the Lord at Jagannath Puri. So Rupan Anupam went then back down to Bengal and down to Jagannath Puri. Okay, Sanatana Goswami then was in Vrindavan. In the year 1436, Shakabda, A.D. 1514, the youngest brother, Anupam, died and went back home, back to Godhead. He went to the abode in the spiritual sky where Sri Ramachandra is situated. At Jagannath Puri, Sri Rupa Goswami informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of this incident. Vallabha was a great devotee of Sri Ramachandra, therefore he could not seriously consider the worship of Radha Govinda, according to the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yet he directly accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramachandra. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, that's how everybody can, because whoever is their deity, they see that Lord Chaitanya is an appearance of his deity. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, there is the following statement. Vallabha was given the name Anupam by Sri Gaurasundara, but he was always absorbed in the devotional service of Lord Ramachandra. He did not know anyone but Sri Ramachandra, but he knew that Chaitanya Gosai was the same Lord Ramachandra. In the Gaurgana Deshtipika 180, Sri Rupa Goswami is described to be the gopi named Sri Rupa Manjari. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, there is a list of the books of Sri Rupa Goswami compiled. Of all his books, the following 16 are very popular amongst Vaishnavas. 1. Hamsa Dutta. 2. Uddhava Sandesh. 3. Krishna Janma Titi Vidhi. 4 and 5. Radha Krishna Gauna Desh Deepika. Brihad and Lagu. Brihad and Lagu. Okay, there's two forms of it. I never knew that. 6. Stavamala. 7. Vidagdha Madhava. 8. Lalita Madhava. 9. Danakeli Kalmudi. 10. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the most celebrated book by Sri Rupa Goswami. 11. Ujjvala Nilamani. 12. Akhyata Chandrika. 13. Mathura Mahima. 14. Padyavali. 15. Natika Chandrika. And 16. Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Sri Rupa Goswami gave up all family connections, joined the renounced order of life, and divided his money, giving 50% to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and 25% to his kutumba, family members, and keeping 25% for personal emergencies. He met Haridas Thakur in Jagannath Puri, where he also met Lord Chaitanya and his other associates. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to praise the handwriting of Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami could compose verses according to the desires of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by his direction he wrote two books named Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava. Lord Chaitanya desired the two brothers, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, to publish many books in support of the Vaishnava religion. When Sanatana Goswami met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord advised him also to go to Vrindavan. Oh, so then this is the time when he's there and that verse he has stuck in Haridas Thakur's place.
The previous one, about Rupa Goswami.
Yeah, about Rupa Goswami. Means it's this time when he came down to Puri. Sri Chaitanya... Yes.
Actually, in the 16 books, it's not mentioned about Upadeshamrita.
Upadeshamrita.
Nectar of instruction.
It's not mentioned. Oh, well, it's probably because it's the extension of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But I mean, he has more books, so that's the thing. He mentioned the most popular books. Like that. So, I mean, it may not necessarily be the most popular books that we know, but.
yes.
But he said, you know. Like that. Sri Sanatana Goswami is described in Gauragana Deshtipika 181. He was formerly known as Rati Manjari, or sometimes Lavanga Manjari. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, it is stated that his spiritual master, Vidyavachaspati, sometimes stayed in the village of Ramakeli, and Sanatana Goswami studied all the Vedic literatures from him. He was so devoted to his spiritual master that this cannot be described. According to the Vedic system, if someone sees a Muslim, he must perform rituals to atone for the meeting. Sanatana Goswami also associated with Muslim kings. Not giving much attention to the Vedic injunctions, he used to visit the houses of Muslim kings. Thus he considered himself to have been converted into a Muslim. He was therefore always very humble and meek. When Sanatana Goswami presented himself before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "I am always in association with lower class people. My behavior is therefore very abominable." End quote. He actually belonged to a respectable Brahmin family, because the Bharadwaj Gotra, that's considered very, you know, very specific. It's very high. Means even amongst Brahmins, if you know, you bump into someone who's from the Bharadwaj, the other Brahmins are, you know, it's like. But because he considered his behavior to be abominable, he did not try to pass himself among the Brahmins, but always among people of the lower castes. He wrote the Hari Bhakti Vilas in Vaishnav Toshani, which is a commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the year 1476, Shakabda, AD 1554, he completed the Brihad Vaishnav Toshani, commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so the Vaishnav Toshani is just 10th canto. Brihad means the whole thing. In the year of 1504, Shakabda, AD 1582, Srila Jiva Goswami published an edited version of the Brihad Vaishnav Toshani, named Laghu Toshani. Vidyavachaspati, that was also Lord Chaitanya studied under him. No? Yeah, because Lord Chaitanya was supposed to study from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but he got a bit distracted, and he ended up in Puri. So then he studied under Vidyavachaspati. So that's interesting, because it's also, that's who is the teacher of Sanatana Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his principles through four chief followers. Among them, Ramananda Rai is exceptional. For through him, the Lord taught how a devotee can completely vanquish the power of Cupid. By Cupid's power, as soon as one sees a beautiful woman, he is conquered by her beauty. Sri Ramananda Rai, however, vanquished Cupid's pride. Indeed, while rehearsing the Jagannath Vallabha Nataka, he personally directed extremely beautiful young girls in dancing, but he was never affected by the youthful beauty. Sri Ramananda Rai personally bathed these girls, touching them and washing them with his own hands. Yet he remained calm and passionless, as a great devotee should be. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu certified that this was possible only for Ramananda Rai. Similarly, Damodar Pandit was notable for his objectivity as a critic. He did not even spare Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his criticism. This also could not be imitated by anyone else. Haridas Thakur is exceptional for his forbearance, because although he was beaten with canes in 22 marketplaces, he was nevertheless tolerant. Similarly, Sri Sanatana Goswami, although he belonged to a most respectable Brahmin family, was exceptional for his humility and meekness. Right? So these things, you can learn from them, but you can't copy them. Yes. That's the meaning of following the footsteps, not even imitating. Like that. So, yeah. In the Madhya Lila chapter 19, the device adopted by Sanatana Goswami to get free from government service is described. He served a notice of sickness to the Nawab, the Muslim governor, but actually he was studying Srimad Bhagavatam with Brahmins at home. The Nawab received information of this through a royal physician, right? Because he probably sent the physician and found that he didn't appear to be as sick as one would expect. And he immediately went to see Sanatana Goswami to discover his intentions, right? So Sanatana Goswami is so dear, he went himself personally. He didn't just send someone else. The Nawab requested Sanatana to accompany him on an expedition to Orissa. But when Sanatana Goswami refused, the Nawab ordered that he be imprisoned. When Rupa Goswami left home, he wrote a letter for Sanatana Goswami informing him of some money that had been entrusted to a local grocer. Sanatana Goswami took advantage of this money to bribe the jailkeeper and get free from detention. Wow. So people were quite honest. He could leave that much money with a grocer. He was still just selling, you know, rice and dal. Right?
Later it brings up that they really didn't have bankers per se, or people didn't put their money in the bank.
It's always Manu mentions that. Generally, it's always with business people because they're dealing with money and they know how to keep money safe. So then you can leave your money with them. Yeah. Though Manu does talk about what you do when they weren't quite as honest. Because you may give it as a sealed or as a unsealed. But if it's open, then they know what the content is. And then, you know, the dealing such. The unsealed means that they have to give it back in the same way. So if it's been broken, then, you know, so... Then he left for Benares to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bringing with him only one servant, whose name was Ishana. On the way, they stopped at a sharai, or hotel, and when the hotel keeper found out that Ishan had some gold coins with him, he planned to kill both Sanatana Goswami and Ishan to take away the coins. Later, Sanatana Goswami saw that although the hotel keeper did not know them, he was being especially attentive to their comfort. Therefore, he concluded that Ishan was secretly carrying some money, and that the hotel keeper was aware of this, and therefore planned to kill them for it. Because Sanatana Goswami, that's why he was the prime minister.
Yes.
Because he could work all these things out.
Yes. Yes.
You know the story of how he became in the service of the Nawab?
What does this call actually?
Means the Nawab was there, and there was some special minar that was being built. And the Nawab was up seeing it. So, you know, they're quite very tall and all that. He made arranged it in such a nice way. And he's coming up to see the work in that. And the architect, you know, the man who's building, I guess it wasn't finished, but he's showing, you know, details and all that. And, you know, he's showing, and he's good. But the problem is he was very proud, very arrogant, to the point that it annoyed the Nawab so much, he pushed him out of the tower. You know? And after having pushed him out of the tower, probably someone else mentioned, or he figured out, well, this is the main guy who's doing the work, now how are they going to finish this tower? So he turns to his servant and says, go to Rama Kali. And then something came up, someone came in and then said something to the king. And so the servant, having seen what happened to the last guy, who upset him, didn't want to upset the king, so he immediately left for Rama Kali, even though he had told him what to do. And so then he came to Rama Kali, and he's there in the main, you know, the main area, and just pacing back and forth, because he has no idea what he's supposed to be doing. So then Sanatana Goswami happened to be going by, he saw him. And he saw this guy, and he went over to him, and you know, he could know, because he could tell how he's dressed. He's come from the king, and all that. Same time, he looks. He's totally bewildered. He says, "Why are you here? You know, what are you here for?" And so then he you know, explained what happened, and that, you know. And so then he was thinking, well, Rama Kali's famous for, you know, the artisans, you know, that do that kind of work. So what you need is a guy. You know, so then he took him to the top guy there and this, that, and then the man took him back to the king. And then he came into the court, brought this guy and all this, and the king, what are you doing here? You told me to go to Ram Kali. Yeah, so who's this? And he explained. And he said, you're not smart enough to figure that out. He says, who figured this out? So when he told them who it was, then the king came and arranged and got him. This guy's got to be the prime minister. Right? So he can see, he can figure out just by how he's dealing this and that, and that, you know, there must be something there in these plans like this. And all. So that's what Sanatana Goswami was very good at. Upon being questioned by Sanatana Goswami, Ishan admitted that he had indeed had money with him. And immediately Sanatana Goswami took the money and gave it to the hotel keeper, requesting him to help them get through the jungle. Thus, with the help of the hotel keeper, who was also the chief of the thieves of that territory. They got to have a front, right? You know. Sanatana Goswami crossed over the Hazipur Mountains, which are presently known as the Hazaribaghs. He then met his brother-in-law, Srikanta, who requested that he stay with him. Sanatana Goswami refused, but before they parted, Srikanta gave him a valuable blanket. Yeah. So that's the thing, you know, you deal nicely with these guys, and they help you. Like that. I remember one devotee was telling me they were preaching or doing something they were going through. No, maybe not. Maybe, I'm not sure if they were preaching or if they were just, he just happened to be going through. He was a knight alone on the road somewhere in North Africa. You know, it's after dark, you know. And then some guy's coming by in a camel. You know, a camel thing. You know, like this and that. And then asked him where he was going. You know, and they said something like this. And so they gave him a ride. Like that. And then, you know, whatever it is. And they got off on that. And they asked, you know, people asked him, you know, you came here. You know, how did you come here? Then he explained. And they told him that, you know, these are the big... You know, thieves, they were the what do you call them, Bedouins?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they live out there. Might have even kept him at his place at night, fed him and everything like that, and in the morning took him. So, you know, if you deal with them nicely, they deal very nice, and if you don't, then less nice. Somehow or another, Sanatana Goswami reached Varanasi and met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the house of Chandrasekhar. On the order of the Lord, Sanatana Goswami was cleanly shaved, and his dress changed to that of a mendicant, or Babaji. Because in the story, when he went out, Lord Chaitanya says that there's a great devotee, he went outside and he just saw this Muslim guy. He put on old garments of tapan misses and took prasadam at the house of a Maharashtrian Brahmana. Then, in discourses with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord himself explained everything about devotional service to Sanatana Goswami. Because the thing is if you're the Sambandha Acharya, you have to know everything about it. Because that's what Sambandha Gyan is you know everything about devotional service. Then when you specialize in applying that knowledge, that's Abhideya, so that's Rupa Goswami. Right? And then tasting that, then that's Prayojana. Right? He advised Sanatana Goswami to write books on devotional service, including a book of directions for Vaishnava activities, and to excavate the lost places of pilgrimage in Vrindavan, right? So that's the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And also Brihad Bhagavatam, Rita, these things, you know. So that's what he explains. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him blessings to do all his work and also explained to Sanatana Goswami the import of the Atmarama verse from 61 different angles of vision. So he said 60. And then he said just by associating with Sanatana Goswami, and then he thought of another one. Right? So, Sanatana Goswami went to Vrindavan by the main road. And when they reached Mathura, right, because now, you know, he won't be recognized as out of the... He's out of the area of the Nawab. Because otherwise the Nawab then would have been the whole East India. And, you know, East India, Bangladesh, you know, the whole thing. And when he reached Mathura, he met Subhudi Rai. Then he returned to Jagannath Puri through Jharkhand. Okay. The Madhya Pradesh jungle. Okay, so he also went back down. At Jagannath Puri, he decided to give up his body by falling... Oh, that's that story, okay. Falling down beneath the wheel of the Jagannath Rath. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saved him. Then Sanatana Goswami met Haridas Thakur and heard about the disappearance of Anupam. Sanatana Goswami later described the glories of Haridas Thakur. Sanatana observed the etiquette of Jagannath's temple by going along the beach to visit Lord Chaitanya, although it was extremely hot due to the sun. He requested Jagannatha Pandit to give him permission to return to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised the character of Sanatana Goswami and he embraced Sanatana, accepting his body as spiritual. Sanatana Goswami was ordered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to live at Jagannath Puri for 1 year. When he returned to Vrindavan after that time, he again met Sri Rupa Goswami, and both brothers remained in Vrindavan to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The place where Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami formerly lived has now become a place of pilgrimage. It is generally known as Gupta Vrindavan or Hidden Vrindavan, and is situated about 8 miles south of English Bazaar. Oh, this must be the Ramakali place.
Mm-hmm.
There, the following places are still visited. 1. The temple of Sri Madan Mohan Diri. 2. The Kali Kadamba tree under which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Sanatana Goswami at night. And 3. Rupa Sagara, a large pond excavated by Sri Rupa Goswami. A society named Ramakali Samskara Samhiti was established in 1924 to repair the temple and renovate the pond. Yeah, because Lord Chaitanya didn't meet them in their place in Bangladesh. 110.85. Among these branches, Rupa and Sanatan were principal. Anupam, Jiva Goswami, and others headed by Rajendra were their sub-branches. Srila Prabhupada. In the Gaur Ganadesh Deepika, it is said that Srila Jiva Goswami was formerly Vilasa Manjari, Gopi. From his very childhood, Jiva Goswami was greatly fond of Srimad Bhagavatam. He later came to Navadvip to study Sanskrit, and following in the footsteps of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he circumambulated the entire Navadvip Dham. After visiting Navadvip Dham, he went to Benares to study Sanskrit under Madhusudana Vachaspati. And after finishing his studies in Benares, he went to Vrindavan and took shelter of his uncle, Sri Rupa and Sanatana. This is described in Bhakti Ratnakara. As far as our information goes, Jiva Goswami composed and edited at least 25 books. They are all very much celebrated, and they are listed as follows. 1. Harinamamrita Vyakarana. 2. Sutra Malika. 3. Dhatu Sangraha. 4. Krishnarcha Deepika. 5. Gopala Virudhavali. 6. Rasamrita Sesha. 7. Sri Madhava Mahotsava. 8. Sri Sankalpa Kalpa Vriksha. 9. Bhavarta Suchaka Champu. 10. Gopala Tapani Tika. 11. A commentary on the Brahma Samhita. 12. A commentary on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. 13. A commentary on the Ujjwala Nilamani. 14. A commentary on the Yoga Sara Stava. 15. A commentary on the Gayatri Mantra as described in the Agni Purana. Okay, that's what it is. 16. A description of the Lord's lotus feet derived from the Padma Purana. 17. A description of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. 18. Gopal Champu in two parts. And 19 through 25. 7 Sandarbhas. The Krama, Tattva, Bhagavat, Paramatma, Krishna, Bhakti, and Preeti Sandarbha. After the disappearance of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan, Srila Jiva Goswami became the Acharya of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal, Orissa, and the rest of the world. And it is he who used to guide them in their devotional service. In Vrindavan, he established the Radha Damodar Temple, where, after retirement, we had the opportunity to live from 1962 until 1965, when we decided to come to the United States of America. When Jiva Goswami was still present, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami compiled his famous Chaitanya Charitamrita. Later, Srila Jiva Goswami inspired Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Duki Krishnadas to preach Krishna consciousness in Bengal. Jiva Goswami was informed that all the manuscripts that had been collected from Vrindavan and sent to Bengal for preaching purposes were plundered near Vishnupur in Bengal. But later he received the information that the books had been recovered, right? Because then Vishnupur, the king had taken them, because they're all going with this valuable thing, so then they took them. But then they found out that their books, and they came and got the books back and converted the king, because the king became a Vaishnav. And they made it the rule that everybody had to be Vaishnav, so anybody who wasn't, all the smartest had to leave, right? Srila Jiva Goswami awarded the designation of Kaviraj to Ramachandra Sen, a disciple of Srinivas Acharya's, and to Ramachandra's younger brother, Govinda. While Jiva Goswami was alive, Srimati Jadava Devi, the pleasure potency of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, went to Vrindavan with a few devotees. Jiva Goswami was very kind to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Vaishnavas from Bengal. Whoever went to Vrindavan, he provided with residence and prasadam. His disciple, Krishnadas Adhikari, listed all the books of the Goswamis in his diary. The Sahajiya's level 3 accusations against Srila Jiva Goswami, right? Because he's going to talk very strongly about the tattva and what is going to be there. And they're ones who, basically speaking, don't really care about that. Right? They'll only take the parts that deal kind of with rasa and stuff like that. And so then they don't seem to be very friendly with Jiva Goswami.
Level 3?
Sorry?
Level 3. Sahajiya, level 3.
Not level 3. In other words, they put forth 3 accusations.
The Sahajiya's level 3 accusations. Yeah. Level, you know, like this.
Level 3 accusations.
Yeah, they were, they were level 3 accusations.
Is there a level 2 accusation? Or level?
Yeah.
That's how it
sounded.
It did. Yeah. Yeah, where does your mother wears army boots come in? Is that
that's a level 2 accusation.
Level 2, okay. So level 2 is enough to start a fight, level 3's war. Then.
Yeah. And level 4, forget about it.
Okay, yeah, it's just that's the red button.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. This is certainly not congenial for the execution of devotional service, right? Because, you know, in other words, those who have this mentality, they'll never be able to perform devotional service properly. You know, they may say in their lines and this and that, but it doesn't matter because it's Lord Chaitanya's line like that. The first accusation concerns a materialist who was very proud of his reputation as a great Sanskrit scholar and approached Sri Rupa and Sanatana to argue with them about the revealed scriptures. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, not wanting to waste their time, gave him a written statement that he had defeated them in a debate on the revealed scriptures. Taking this paper, the scholar approached Jiva Goswami for a similar certificate of defeat, but Jiva Goswami did not agree to give him one. On the contrary, argued with him regarding the scriptures and defeated him. Certainly it was right for Jiva Goswami to stop such a dishonest scholar from advertising that he had defeated Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. But due to their illiteracy, the Sajjaya class referred to this incident to accuse Srila Jiva Goswami of deviating from the principle of humility. They do not know, however, that humility and meekness are appropriate when one's own honor is insulted, but not when Lord Vishnu or the Acharyas are blasphemed. In such cases, one should not be humble and meek, but one must act. One should follow the example given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Because Lord Chaitanya, when he heard about the Jagannamati's attack on Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, then he immediately came ready to destroy them. Lord Chaitanya says in the Shikshastaka 3, Trinadapi sunichena taror iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. End quote. Nevertheless, when the Lord was informed that Nityananda Prabhu was injured by Jagai and Madhai, he immediately went to the spot, angry like fire, wanting to kill them. Thus, Lord Chaitanya has explained the verse by the example of his own behavior. One should tolerate insults against oneself. But when there is blasphemy committed against superiors such as other Vaishnavas, one should be neither humble nor meek. One must take proper steps to counteract such blasphemy. This is the duty of a servant of a guru and Vaishnavas. Anyone who understands the principle of eternal servitude to the guru and Vaishnavas will appreciate the action of Sri Jiva Goswami in connection with the so-called scholar's victory over his gurus, Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatana Goswami. But otherwise, today people think, oh, that's, you should be more accommodating, everyone's got opinions, and like that kind of stuff. But we can see as Lord Chaitanya and the Acharyas don't think like that. You have to deal with it properly. Another story fabricated to defame Srila Jiva Goswami states that when Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami showed him the newly completed manuscript of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jiva Goswami thought it would hamper his reputation as a big scholar and therefore threw it into a well. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was greatly shocked, according to the story, and he died immediately. You know, so that's their story. They got all kinds of far-out stories, right? Fortunately, a copy of the manuscript of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita had been kept by a person named Mukunda, and therefore later was possible to publish the book. This story is another ignominious example of blasphemy against a guru in Vaishnava. Such a short story should never be accepted as authoritative. So one always has to be careful, because you come up with that, because there's also, what his name is, disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But then Prabhupada mentioned that any of his works up to 1933, they're all bona fide. Anything after it, don't even bother.
Mobile Kapoor?
Yes. So you have to be able to tell the difference. Anything before is good, anything after, don't bother with. Because he has, you know, a whole book of stories from Vrindavan, from all the Babas and that there. So you're going to get all kinds of these things. Yes.
Actually, this reputation, Jiva Goswami, when he comes to Mayapur for Parikrama, when Nityananda Prabhu takes the road, and after that he tells to Nityananda Prabhu. Actually, when I was a child, when I met Mahaprabhu, he told me to read Vedanta and write commentary on that one. So I want to learn Vedanta from Sarvam Bhattacharya. But Nityananda Prabhu says, no, don't learn from Sarvam Bhattacharya. Rather, you go to Varanasi, read under Madhusudana Vachaspati. Further, you go to Rupa Sanatha and write, establish Bhagavatam as a natural commentary.
Oh, okay.
So then he told, because why you don't write? In future, Gopinath Acharya will come as Balde Vidya Bhushan. He will write a commentary.
Oh, okay.
On Vedanta.
Okay.
So, like, he is not for name fame.
Yes, yes. Yes, and then they... Yeah, so they're trying to blame him like that. So. Whatever. According to another accusation, Srila Jiva Goswami did not approve of the principles of the Parakya Rasa of Rajadam, and therefore supported Swakiya Rasa. Great, this is fabulous. Now we know where it comes from. Showing that Radha and Krishna are eternally married. Actually, when Jiva Goswami was alive, some of his followers disliked the Parakya Rasa of the gopis. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami, for their spiritual benefit, supported Swakiya Rasa, for he could understand the Sahajiyas would otherwise exploit the Parakya Rasa, as they are actually doing at the present time. Unfortunately, in Vrindavan and Navadvip, it has become fashionable among Sahajiyas and their debauchery to find an unmarried sexual partner to live with to execute so-called devotional service in Parakya Rasa. Foreseeing this, Srila Jiva Goswami supported Swakiya Rasa, and later all the Vaishnava Acharyas also approved of it. Srila Jiva Goswami was never opposed to the transcendental Parakya Rasa, nor has any other Vaishnava disapproved of it. Srila Jiva Goswami strictly followed his predecessor gurus and Vaishnavas, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, and Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami accepted him as one of his instructor gurus.
They accepted Jiva Goswami.
Sorry?
They accepted Jiva Goswami.
Who?
Rupa Goswami.
No, his predecessor, strictly followed his predecessor gurus and Vaishnavas, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. That's Jiva Goswami's, and Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami accepted him as one of his instructing gurus.
Okay.
So that's why you see is that the line goes Rupa Sanatana, and then Jiva, then Krishnadas.
Yes.
Because, but it's an instructing one. Okay. Because he's initiated by Nityananda Prabhu. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Yeah. So the point is that You're talking about the rasa means then it's the aspect of the taste that's going on. So you have to have this, but you have that whole point because they're dealing on the platform of Mugdata, right? So they're not acting as though here's the supreme absolute truth and his supreme internal potency, right? So then, but because some of his disciples disproved of it. Then, because of looking at it from the moralistic point of view and all that, then he's explaining from tattva how it's Krishna and his internal potency. So they're eternally married. It's just presented in this way. It's like a drama, you know.
Yes.
And a drama, then people are there and they're married or not or this or that, and you know, but then there's something else. Does that make sense? Which is, by tattva, is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they take it that he didn't support Parikir Rasa. It's just that those who can't tolerate it, then they deal in that way. Because sometimes you see people like that. There was one devotee I saw in Delhi. Nice devotee and all that. And he was, you know, he was devotee, ISKCON devotee and all that. But his wife was a devotee of Ramachandra. She had nothing to do with Krishna because of this Parikir Rasa. You know, because your thing is he doesn't follow the standard norms like that. So then this method, you just explain. This is what's going on. So actually, they're all his internal potency. You know, so the same individuals then in Dwarka, then he's married to them all. But that gives one taste, and then Vrindavan there's another taste. But they're all his eternal associates. So as Prabhupada points out, all the acharyas accept this principle. Right, so they don't have a problem with either of these presentations. Right? But as those who have that faith, they can appreciate the parakia. Those who don't, then one mentions the swakya aspect. 110:86-89. By the will of the Supreme Gardener, the branches of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami grew many times over, expanding throughout the western countries and covering the entire region, extending to the borders of the river Sindhu and the Himalaya mountain valleys. These two branches expand throughout India, including all the places of pilgrimage such as Vrindavan, Mathura, and Haridwar. The fruits of love of Godhead, which fructified on these two branches, were distributed in abundance. Tasting these fruits, everyone became mad after them. The people in general on the western side of India were neither intelligent nor well-behaved. But by the influence of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they were trained in devotional service and good behavior. They say, just as a reference, Prabhupada said, Bengal is east, and the farther west you go, the more degraded it becomes. So he's already saying, preaching in the western side of, you know what it would be, the India, it's already... neither intelligent nor well behaved, so it just gets worse as you keep going. Srila Prabhupada, although it is not only in Western India that people were contaminated by association with Muslims, it is a fact that the farther west one goes in India, the more he will find people to be fallen from the Vedic culture. Until 5,000 years ago, when the entire planet was under the control of Maharaj Parikit, the Vedic culture was current everywhere. Gradually, however, people were influenced by non-Vedic culture, and they lost sight of how to behave in connection with devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami very kindly preached the bhakti cult in Western India. And following in their footsteps, the propagators of the Chaitanya cult in the Western countries are spreading the Sankirtan movement and inculcating the principles of Vaishnava behavior, thus purifying and reforming many persons who were previously accustomed to the culture of Mlechas and Yavanas. All of our devotees in the Western countries give up their old habits of illicit sex, intoxicating, meat-eating, and gambling. Of course, 500 years ago, these practices were unknown in India, at least in Eastern India. But unfortunately, at present, all of India has been victimized by these non-Vedic principles, which are sometimes even supported by the government. Right, so these four, they're not Vedic, because we see Manu mentions these four to be to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been at that time, 5,000 years ago, then the planet was following. Some will be more refined, some will be less refined,
mm-hmm.
like that. But the point is that the whole planet was following the culture, like that. So therefore, if one says that, you know, we're Americans, this is not our culture, no, it is. Yes.
Somehow, you know, six Goswamis, except for Jiva Goswami, they didn't have any disciple. I mean, Lokanath Goswami had one, and Jiva Goswami had so many. So what would be the reason for that?
You have the point is that you have the Siksha, then they'll have so many. But just maybe he's, because he's formalizing it and creating the institution. So he formalized the Vishnu Vaishnav Raja Sabha. So that time, as we said, he became the leader of, after the six Goswamis, he became the leader of the Bengal Vaishnavas. You know, wherever they were. So then you're going to have that aspect where they're going to take on that more formal thing and then make the mission and have it go out like this. So Rupa and Goswami are they're establishing the mission. What is to be? What is the knowledge? What is the priest? They're establishing Vrindavan and doing these things, and then Jiva Goswami then formally takes it out. Is that? Yeah, so it works like that. It just naturally goes. But 110.90. In accordance with the direction of the revealed scriptures, both Goswamis excavated the lost places of pilgrimage and inaugurated the worship of deities in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada. The spot where we now find Sri Radhakund was an agricultural field during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A small reservoir of water was there, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed in that water and pointed out that originally Radhakund existed in that location. Following his directions, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami renovated Radhakund. This is one of the brilliant examples of how the Goswamis excavated lost places of pilgrimage. Similarly, it is through the endeavor of the Goswamis that all the important temples in Vrindavan were established. Originally, there were seven important Gaudiya Vaishnav temples established in Vrindavan, namely the Madan Mohan Temple, Govinda Temple, Gopinath Temple, Sri Radharaman Temple, Radha Shama Sundar Temple, Radha Damodar Temple, and Gokul Ananda. Srila Raghunath 110.91. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, the 46th branch of the tree, was one of the most dear servants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He left all his material possessions to surrender completely unto the Lord and live at his lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was most probably born in the year 1416 Shakabda, AD 1494, in a Kayastha family as the son of Govardhan Majumdar, who was the younger brother of the then Zamindar Hiranya Majumdar. The village where he took birth is known as Sri Krishnapura. On the railway line between Calcutta and Burdwan is a station called Trishabhagha, now known as Adi Saptagram. Okay, that's where all that's the origin of the whole Mullick family's from there. And about 1.5 miles away is the village of Sri Krishnapur, where the parental home of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami was situated. A temple of Sri Sri Radha Govinda is still there. In front of the temple is a large open area, but no large hall for devotees to assemble. A rich Calcutta gentleman named Hari Charan Ghosh, who resided in the Simla quarter, recently repaired the temple. The entire temple compound is surrounded by walls, and in a small room just to the side of the temple is a small platform on which Raghunath Das Goswami used to worship the deity. By the side of the temple is the dying river Saraswati. The forefathers of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami were all Vaishnavas and were very rich men. His spiritual master at home was Yadunandan Acharya. Although Raghunath Das was a family man, he had no attachment for his estate and wife. Seeing his tendency to leave home, his father and uncle engaged special bodyguards to watch over him. But nevertheless, he managed to escape their vigilance and went to Jagannath Puri to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This incident took place in the year 1439 Shakabda, AD 1517. Raghunath Das Goswami compiled three books, namely Stavamala, or Stavavali, Dana Charita, and Mukta Charita. He lived a long time, residing for most of his life at Radhakund. The place where Raghunath Das Goswami performed his devotional service still exists by Radhakund. He almost completely gave up eating and therefore was very skinny and of weak health. His only concern was to chant the holy name of the Lord. He gradually reduced his sleeping until he was almost not sleeping at all. It is said that his eyes were always full of tears. When Srinivas Acharya went to see Raghunath Das Goswami, the Goswami blessed him by embracing him. Srinivasacharya requested his blessings for preaching in Bengal, and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami granted them. In the Gorganarsh Deepika, it is stated that Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was formerly the gopi named Rasa Manjari. Sometimes it is said that he is Rati Manjari, because you have Rasa Manjari and Rati, and he also said Rati for Sanatana Goswami, but also Lavanga. You could say he's the practical Prayojanacharya. Means because he's the one who, you can see by his example how that Prayojan is followed. But otherwise, the deity, then who's
Pandit.
Huh? Madhupandit. Madhupandit. He, it's his deity, but it appears that it's Raghunath Das who's the one who generally taken that capacity.
So Krishnaskara Goswami, at the end of each chapter, he prays to Rupa Raghunath. So what does it mean for us to be followers of Rupa and Raghunath?
We're following their instruction, their direction. So that mood that Rupa Goswami gave, the mood of preaching, the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so this Vishva Vaishnava Raja Sabha, that's all coming from Rupa. And then Raghunath, you see, is that mood of practicing it, applying it, how he's absorbed himself in it. And then, you know, how he led the Vaishnavas in that. So Jiva Goswami then is coming in that line, you know, from Rupa Goswami. And so then as the teachings come down, you see is how he's explaining it. That's how we're seeing it and how we're applying it. And we see is that Prabhupada's explaining in that same way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the point, is that we follow the instructions given by in the line, we catch it that way. That's why other great personalities are there. You see so many nice branches and all that, but they may have different approaches and all that due to their particular relationship and that with Lord Chaitanya. But we will be respectful to all that, but we won't specifically, if there's some difference in the flavor or some detail, we'll take our line. That's just how it works. Because we have to understand the places is unlimited. So we want to stick in our particular place. Otherwise, then who knows where you end up? It's a big place. No? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand where I don't remember. Raghunath Das Goswami's teachings means to understand the manakshiksha, instruction to the mind. Is that?
There's that, but the point is you see, he's always absorbed in. He's always absorbed. His sadhana is very strict, always very regulated. He's always absorbed in chanting the holy names. You know, he's always trying to see to, you know, detaching himself. He's always detached from material facility and wealth and position and all those kind of things. So these are the kind of things we can take like that. Manasiksha, the principles of it you can always apply, but the details, unless you're on that level, how you'll apply? You know what I'm saying? The principle of being humble and all that you take. But just because someone writes a book doesn't mean it's for us. You know, you have to be qualified. You know, it's just, does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so it's always that way. So this idea is, oh, I'm intelligent or I'm educated or I'm older, so therefore it's naturally for me. That's not necessarily a good measurement to check things by, right? So you have to check by, the measurement has to be what they give, not what we give. They set the standard, not us. Does that make sense?
Yes. We can't imitate Ramananda, right? But can we follow to Goswami in a point if, for example, devotee wants to go to Gaurapurnima, but employer doesn't allow him to go in this time? If he will pay money to the doctor, permission that he is ill in this time and then he can go to Krishna.
Who is he following? Whose example are we getting?
I don't remember. Sanatana Goswami or...
Somebody who paid money to get out of his position to go somewhere.
When Hussein, Nawab Hussein Shah told him that he should not leave his job, but he stayed. And he told that his doctor told that he is ill, but when he came to him, he was just reading Srimad Bhagavatam.
Sanatana Goswami?
Yes, Sanatana Goswami. Yes, but the only thing is here. Then in the connection, are we then in this this analogy or whatever it is? Then are we connecting the temple president with the Chan Kaz? I mean, with the Nawab or like that?
No, just work, not temple president, but employer.
Oh, his employer told him he couldn't go.
Oh, like he wouldn't give him off.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, that you can do as long as when you get back you still have a job or, you know, get a new job. So when he went back, did he have his job?
The bad thing is bribing the doctor.
Oh, is the bad thing bribing the doctor?
Oh, is that what you...
Oh, so is that what you want to know about? Okay, yeah, it wasn't clear. So is it bad to bribe the doctor?
Probably like a doctor. He's too sick to go to work.
Okay. But did he go to Gaur Purnima? Okay, he didn't go to, like, the Bahamas or something. You don't know the Bahamas?
No.
Okay, Ibiza? Okay, yeah, okay.
The mountains.
Huh?
The mountains. But they also have resorts there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The point is, as long as if it's something spiritual, it works. You know, but you have to be intelligent. When he got back, did he still have a job?
Yeah.
So then it worked. You know, I'd be very careful about it, though. Don't make it a regular thing.
I'm saying if police want to send us to the prison, we also can bribe them.
Is there a rule that something that we're doing we should go to prison?
Just because it was practical case in your life.
No, I'm just saying. So the point is that is it a matter of something has actually gone wrong and so therefore they're talking about prison, or is it that making a situation for you to go to prison is actually part of their way to make money? You don't catch that one. It's just like you see sometimes police will be out on the road and all that, and they'll set up a barrier and that when trucks come by and all that, they'll wave them over. They just stick a few rupees out the window and then they take it and keep driving, or they want to turn stuff. So they're out there to find something wrong, and so that you'll give them money. Does that make sense? Because the point is if they're going to say they're going to take you to prison, but you can give them money and they won't take you to prison, you're not actually dealing with honest policemen. Does that make sense?
I was in a situation that I wrote a book about Krishna consciousness, and the government considered it a crime because it's forbidden in our country to spread spiritual consciousness.
Can you
do it for me?
Can you? Sanatana Goswami did it, why not? But the whole point is that if you're doing something of a higher principle to serving the Lord, then these things can be done, but you have to be careful that it's not used as an excuse for mundane aspects. It's a fine point. Because as we're saying here, government's corrupt, then these things go on anyway. You know. But otherwise, then, it's not good. you know, they're corrupt. You know, people are bribing them, so everybody's wrong. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think this kind of question doesn't make any sense, but in Russia, it's a crucial question.
Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. It's just like here, you know, do you think the guy, yeah. You know, it's just that, yeah. Yes, yeah, crucial question.
It's an everyday occurrence.
Yeah. So it's like we say, the truck drivers, I don't know what it's up to now, but when they go out driving on the road, they just get a big stack of whatever the you know, before it was like 10 rupees. So they have a stack of 10 rupees. And every time they go, they just 10 rupees out the window, you know, it's just like that. You know? So
now it's 100.
Huh?
Now it must be 100.
Oh, okay. So like that, then they just, that's how they get to where they're going. It's all part of, means that you want to hire their truck from here to here, it includes this. Yeah, so it's not a proper, but it goes on. So if you can get away without it, then great. Makes it easier. But if not, then... Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Vrinda.